Turn in the Word of God, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 20. John chapter 20. And while you have the Word of God open before you, let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we bless Thee that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast given us a true record of His life and death, resurrection, ascension, and His place in glory. We pray that Thou would speak to our hearts this morning as the word of Christ goes forth. May the same life that is in Jesus Christ raise souls even this morning from sin unto life, from death unto the joy of salvation. We ask these things then through Christ our Savior. Amen. Please have your Bibles open at John chapter 20. Friends, every first day of the week that the Christians call the Lord's Day, or people generally call it the Sunday, we come again and again to remember and to celebrate the greatest of events in the history of the world. We celebrate the great truth that Jesus Christ, who was crucified on a Roman cross and died, arose from the dead just 3 days later, as he always said in his life. And this one truth is what sets Christianity apart from every other system of belief in the world. All other religious leaders have died. Buddha died, Muhammad died, Confucius died, Zoroaster died. Every founder of every religion that has ever existed has died. However, only one has risen again from the dead. And if we were to strip Christianity of the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our faith would be no more than just another useless religious system condemning the souls of those who follow it to eternal hell and damnation. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead and is not alive today, then we have no message to preach. We have no hope to offer to any one of you this morning. And it would be all in vain. Everything that Jesus Christ did was in vain if He is still dead. His death was a waste of time. His cross would have been a waste. Yet, my friends, that is not the case. Praise God for that. Praise God that Jesus Christ lives. This is what we want to declare this morning, that He is alive. The Lord Jesus Christ lives. In the Gospel according to John in chapter 20, it gives us the details of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And we can see from these verses that the Lord Jesus Christ is very much alive and well. And there are many lessons here this morning for us to take to our hearts. I want to take just the minutes that we have this morning to catch a fresh glimpse of this teaching, this doctrine of the resurrection. What actually it means and what it does to the soul of those who believe it. Because there is a resurrected Redeemer, we have hope in this life and even beyond this life and on into eternity. You see, sin destroys hope, but Jesus Christ lives, who died and He canceled the debt of sin that all of us have against the Holy God. And so by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a sure hope in this life and also for the next. And the things that I want you to notice from this portion, these verses that we have read together, first of all, I want you to see the thoughts at the tomb. There are various things at the tomb. The first thing is the thoughts. Some thoughts at the tomb. And that's what you find in verses 1 to 11. Here comes Mary. We read, "In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre." That's the tomb. "And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." So she comes to the tomb a good while before daylight. And when she arrives, she finds the stone that is rolled away and the tomb is empty. Immediately, she goes, she runs to the disciples. She finds the disciples of the Lord Jesus and she tells them that the body of their Lord is missing from the place that they laid him. And when they heard this news, Peter and John, they ran to the tomb to see what has happened. When they arrived, they both saw that the linen clothes lying there undisturbed. There is a napkin that had been around his face, lying folded in a place by itself. It's amazing what you read, the detail that the Word of God gives us. And these things tell us something. It spoke to John. It doesn't say anything about Peter. They go home, but it says there in verse 8, "Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." When you see in your mind's eye what the Scripture tells you of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see it. But do you believe it? And does this belief, has it changed your life? There's a word we could say about the linen cloths. Why is it that they were laid the way they were laid? Why is it that they were in such an orderly fashion? The napkin was folded. The linen cloths were as if there was a body in it, but the body had gone. What's that telling you? Everything here speaks of calmness. Everything here speaks of order in the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 11, you see that Peter and John went away from the tomb, but Mary stayed behind. She stays behind weeping and mourning the loss of her Lord. Why did she do that? Why did she stay? Think about it. She loved the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that Mary had been delivered by the Savior from the life of deep and dreadful sin. That's what you find in Mark's account, in Mark 16. That this woman who was there weeping had been set free. And so she's there weeping and mourning. She didn't want to lose the Lord Jesus. She loved the Lord Jesus for what he had done in her life. You see, her life is devoted to him. This is telling us that Jesus Christ saves sinners, friends. He converts them. Presently, maybe you don't have a heart like Mary's heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. It really doesn't matter to you. You can walk out of this service unmoved, really. You've never wept over sin, maybe. You've never wept about the fact that not just your sin, but that you've offended a holy God. And you've never wept that the Savior died upon a cross to save wretched sinners like us. People like us. But when you're converted, then there is a change. When you're converted, then you will. The redeemed soul will love the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stop to think of all that he has done for your life, how can you not love him? Mary set the right example of love and devotion of all the followers of the Lord. The question that comes to mind this morning is, do you love him as you ought today? Do you love him as you ought? Mary, we read,
was weeping and looked into the sepulchre, it says in verse 11.
Her eyes were focused on the physical evidence rather than the spiritual answer. All she saw was an empty tomb. It never entered into her mind to consider the greater truth that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive, as he said. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened there, happened according to the word of the Savior that he said to them many times, on the third day I will rise again. We might well weep with her, but for the truth that he is alive and no longer dead. Oh, if it were true that Jesus Christ was dead today, the Apostle Paul tells us that we would be, of all men, we would be most miserable indeed. But praise God, he is not dead. He is alive. Many of God's children, friends, live as they believe, as if they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was dead, sadly. There is no joy, it seems, in some people's lives. And their focus is taken away from the Savior to empty tombs of their own lives, the empty things. And my friends, if you look at the physical things of this life and this world, what will you have? Only weeping. That's what sin does. Sin brings weeping in this world, sadness in this world. People often act as if they are trapped in some sort of dead religion that destroys any kind of real joy. We are not talking about merely feelings, but real deep-seated joy based upon the fact that our sins are forgiven, that our names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. That is the thing that settles my heart when I face all the troubles and all the disappointments of life. The world can be taken away from us, but if we have Jesus Christ, we have peace and joy and forgiveness of sins. We have heaven to be had. We serve, my friends, the one who went to Calvary, died for our sins, and 3 days later arose from the dead to live forevermore. And with that in mind, let's determine now that we no longer will hang our head as if the Lord Jesus Christ has died and has not risen, but to demonstrate the joy and the hope that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ move you in your love and devotion of him? This is something for you to think about. If it does not move you, there is a question mark over your relationship, if there is at all any relationship. So here are some thoughts at the tomb and what took place. The second thing I want you to consider is the messengers or the message at the tomb. And that's what you find in verses 12 to 13. And so she stoops down, she looks into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. There were two angels at the tomb. Angels were messengers. That's what the word means. Two is the number of witness. There needs to be at least two or three witnesses to confirm a truth. And these angels had been dispatched from God, from heaven, to bear witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead. And there's a message of absolute hope and perfect assurance in this. Matthew gives us the extra wording of the angels. In Matthew chapter 28, in verses 5 and 6, we read this. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here, for he is risen. That's what the angel said to the woman who had also come at some other occasion. And there is something, I think, that we can learn from the very acts and the words of these angels. You see them sitting. You see them sitting. Now, if your life was in danger, would you be sitting around? If you are concerned and worried, would you not be walking up and down, concerned, wondering what you are going to do? Sitting is a posture of absolute peace. If the body of the Lord Jesus Christ had been missing, and if there had been trouble at the tomb, you can be sure that these angels would have been busy. Yet they sit as if all is well. All is well. These angels appears to be in perfect rest. It is as if they are telling us, the work is over. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ has come true. You can all rest now. In fact, every other time the angels are pictured in the Bible, they are busy. They are shown carrying messages. They are dispatching enemies of God and attending to the business of God and worshiping God. Now is one of the few occasions that they sit. They are at rest. Friends, the lost do not have peace nor rest. Those who do not have a full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not at rest. What a lesson for you who are not Christians this morning. Friends, because Jesus Christ lives, you can rest from your labors. The Lord Jesus Christ did an amazing work, a perfect work to save us from our sins. And nothing that we do adds to that. Nothing that we do can win your favor with God. It is His work that you need. It is His life that you need to trust in. You cannot please God by trying to do your best. He doesn't want you to be good to get to please Him for salvation. He doesn't want you to be good to get into heaven. His good news, His message, is that you trust His risen Son. You trust in the death and the resurrection of His Son and nothing more. If you will come to Him this morning with true repentance and have a right view of your sin and what Jesus Christ actually did upon the cross, and you simply and only trust in Jesus Christ, He will save your soul and let you have that rest from your self-righteousness, rest from your religious works, and all the futile efforts that we may do to please Him. He will make us rest from all of that and to rest in Him. And in verse 13, it indicates that these angels wanted to stir up something within the heart of Mary. Their questions were designed to turn on, as it were, the light inside Mary's head. It is as if they were asking, should you be weeping, Mary? Should you be weeping? Doesn't this empty tomb call instead for rejoicing? But Mary, like so many of us, seems determined to live by sight rather than walk by faith, at least in this portion. If the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was still dead in the tomb, then we have nothing else to do but to despair and to weep. But He is risen indeed. That's the message of the gospel. Christ is risen indeed. So we have had some thoughts at the tomb. Here are the messengers and the message at the tomb. But then finally, we want to think about the risen Jesus Christ at the tomb. And that's what you find in verses 14 to 17. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing
and knew not that it was Jesus. Let's read the previous verse 2. And they say unto her, verse 13, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. In her weeping, she realizes that she isn't alone at the tomb. She sees a man standing near her, but she doesn't recognize that this is actually the Lord Jesus. And so she continues weeping. Isn't that just like us? The Lord has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. That he says to those who believe in him, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But how often we have shed tears, thinking he has left us. Yet we fail to see him in our circumstances time and time again. Friends, he is a risen Savior. He's always involved in the lives of those who trust in him. And if you will look, you will always find the Lord Jesus during your time of need. And that is what he has promised. He promised to rise. He promised to be with us too. And this woman is in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and she's weeping. But then think about what the Lord Jesus Christ says to her. He asked Mary two questions that are designed to expose her to the truth. He says to her, Why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? Why do you weep? Why do you weep when you could be rejoicing? Why is he asking me this question? Doesn't he know why I'm weeping? And then another question, Whom seekest thou? Who are you seeking amongst the dead? Why do you look for he that is alive amongst those that are dead? And these questions, friends, were designed to remind Mary that the Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, you read these words. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So this question is saying, this is what I said. I am the resurrection. Not that I will be raised again, but I am actually the resurrection. I have life, eternal life in me. I am the life. He also is stirring in her heart that he is the Prince of Life. Peter preached once, and it is recorded in Acts 3. And he said these words. He says to these people who were amazed at what they had seen, these Jews, he said, Why marvel ye at this? He asked them a question to stir thoughts in their minds. But ye denied, he says, the Holy One and the just, and desired the murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. This very truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, it was a main thrust of the message of the gospel. That what we preach and whom we preach is a risen Savior. He is the Prince of Life. And that is essentially what the Lord is stirring within Mary's heart. Think of this, Mary. I am the Prince of Life. And then also another thought is that he is stirring within her to think that the one who would lay his life down and take it again is there. This is what he said in John chapter 10 and verse 11. He says, No man taketh it from me. He says, Nobody is going to take my life from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He's saying, I have taken up my life.
I have been raised from the dead.
And then, of course, those words of the Savior that he said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
It is interesting to note, friends, that as the Lord is asking these questions to stir these things, these thoughts in Mary's heart, Mary turned her face from him after these questions. She continued to stare into the tomb. Now, where do we see that? I had never seen it before until studying for this. You see it in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And then we read, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say Master. Do you see? She turned herself unto him. At that time, she was not looking to him. She was not facing him. But then, when she heard her name mentioned by the Lord Jesus, she turns herself unto him. She begins to look to him. This is amazing. The Lord Jesus is talking to her, and she doesn't really turn. The Lord is speaking to her, and she's not looking. And my friends, how often we have heard sermons again and again and again, reading the Word of God again and again and again. You ought to pray, Lord, speak to me personally. I don't want just another general sermon, another general word to people who are there, but I want the word for myself. Call my name, Lord. That's what you should be praying. Friends, this woman had turned to look again into the tomb. What a lesson there is for those of you who are still lost, not Christians, to look to the Lord Jesus, not into the tomb. The tomb is a place of death, but the Savior is life. Where are you looking today? There are others who know that they are mere mortals and that one day, there are people, all of us in this world, we know that one day we are going to die. One day we will have to give up everything that we worked for in this life. And people have that dread of that day. Yet they steadfastly refuse to look to the one who can save them from an eternal damnation. Which way are you turning your eyes to this morning? Toward the Lord Jesus Christ who is alive, or toward the empty tombs of this world? And then think about it. What we read in verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. When Mary doesn't respond with the questions, the Lord Jesus Christ simply calls her by her name and tenderly says, Mary. This isn't the voice of the Creator calling the creature. This is not the voice of the Master calling the servant. This is the voice of the Shepherd calling a struggling sheep. And you think about this. There's so many truths revealed in this. His call is the seal of redemption. Isaiah tells us of this in Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. In the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our name, and the name of Mary, he's saying, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 and verse 3, he calleth his own sheep by name. Believing sinners are called by name. Believing sinners are called by name. And then another thing that we can think about is that his call is instantly recognized by the sheep. He said once, they know his voice. The sheep know his voice. One word from the great shepherd of our souls and the person who's weeping, the weeper is transformed into the one who is amazed in worship and praise and thanksgiving. The sorrow and the tears are changed to praise and joy. All because our name was mentioned. All because we were called. And Mary immediately calls him Master. Lord, Lord. She responds to the voice of the Lord Jesus, affirming her love, affirming her devotion to the Savior. And what the Lord Jesus Christ says is an unusual thing that the Lord Jesus Christ calls her to. Look at verse 17. It says, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Just to think about those words that the Lord Jesus Christ said, to go and to say to the disciples these things. Mary was told to go and to tell the disciples that the Lord Jesus Christ was alive and he is ascended to the Father and he was going to come and meet with them too. And it was a message of hope. It is a message of blessing to those who mourned his death. The disciples were very much cast down that day. The Savior, whom they have been following, had been crucified and shamefully treated and put in the tomb. But here is the message that this woman was to go. Do you see the way the Lord Jesus Christ has lifted the position of women? That she becomes a messenger of hope to those disciples. And what is the message? Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. This is what he said. This is the unchanging message, my friends, not only for then, but for now and forevermore, that we can say to all who come into the places where we worship, in the places where you're working, in the places where you're living, the message of salvation is this: Jesus Christ is alive. He said this in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." And another thing that this is an unchanging message is that we are still commanded to come and see. We are called to come unto him. And then what are we to do? To go and tell. Go and tell others about this, what the Lord has done and what Savior we have who is alive. The world needs to hear from a people who have been to the tomb and know that the Lord Jesus Christ lives. The world needs to hear that the Savior of sinners will receive poor sinners like us. And all who come, my friends, to the tomb and see, and who will place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent from sin, will be saved from their sins. They will be born again. And friends, in closing, in 6,000 years, in the 6,000 years of recorded human history, the most important message that has ever been heard is this: he is not here, for he is risen. This is what we remember every week when we gather, and so today. This is the message that if you're an unconverted person, were to believe it, you would be saved. You boys and girls, if you were to believe this message, you would be saved. You adults, if you were to believe this, you would be saved because Christ lives. Now, my question to you is this: have you believed this to the saving of your soul? Does this truth that Jesus Christ lives, has it transformed your life? Could you live your life just like it is right now if he didn't rise from the dead? Could you carry on the way you are going as if he didn't rise from the dead? Or has your life been transformed and your only hope in life and death is in a risen and alive Savior? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we give thee thanks for this message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray that today might be filled with joy of knowing that Christ our Savior lives. We ask this in his precious name. Amen.